Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprint. It is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton Kawartha Lakes Brock. We really appreciate you showing up today for this episode because we have new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we do ask that you like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. And of course, if you can't watch it all now, you can download it and listen to it later on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. And a great guest, a great friend of the show today. We have Candace Bergen, the Deputy Leader, also the Member of Parliament for Portage Lisgar. I can't believe I messed that up. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Jamie. And here in southern Manitoba, we just call it Portage Lisgar. So it's pretty easy. Might be a little flat, doesn't have the Ontario accent, but that's where I'm from. I'm very proud to be the MP for Portage Lisgar.
I've said your riding name a million times, and I can't believe I just messed it up. Of course, this happens on live programming all the time. Let's talk about the budget, because I think that's what we're talking about a lot lately, and Canadians are looking over this massive document, over 700 pages, and as Don Martin from CTV is saying, it is a super spreader of spending.
Well, and I think it has to be taken into the context of this Liberal government's approach overall. I mean, let's begin when Trudeau was elected and he promised just a wee tiny little deficit of $10 billion. And then he threw that out the window within a month or two, and it quickly ballooned. When times were good, when we did not have COVID, when we had growth in the economy, he ballooned the deficit to over $50 billion. And most of it went into the Liberal black hole. I don't know if it's like this where you're from, Jamie, but I can tell you here in Manitoba, we're not seeing a lot of infrastructure money. We're not seeing cell phone service improve. We're not seeing rural broadband improve under this government. So even before COVID, massive spending, Trudeau still thinks the budget would balance itself, and a lot of party insiders getting good contracts. Then COVID hit, and then we were in a very, very difficult situation where a government, any government, would have spent a lot of money to provide support. And spend they did. Spend the Liberals did spend. We supported a lot of it. There still was and continues to be a lot of that money unaccounted for. Of the over $400 billion that was spent during COVID, less than half can be accounted for in actual support. Then that brings us to the budget yesterday. We were waiting for a budget for 2 years, although I kind of joke, you kind of dread a Liberal budget. We want to see a budget, but we also dread it because, you know, lo and behold, and to no surprise, it is again massive spending with really no real plan. So $101 billion. Notice she didn't do 100. Freeland didn't do 100 billion. It's $101 billion. She's kind of like poking it at the country. I'm going to spend your money and do it really proudly. And listen, it is just another, as Don Martin said, or you and I were talking, it's just like kind of the fan money for everybody, money everywhere. And you know what's the saddest part of it? We are going to see a generation ahead of us with no hope and no hope to have jobs for the future. I mean, Trudeau's basically thrown away our natural resources sector. He has abandoned the jobs that come out of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and other parts of the West. And it's very sad to see. I mean, the good thing is Conservatives do have a plan for recovery. We've done it before. We did it in 2008 and 2009, and we can do it again. And the Liberal plan is not a plan. It is just massive spending going out to Liberal friends and insiders and kind of their pet projects.
Yeah, you're right. They're asking for a huge swath of money to spend on whatever they feel like it. But at the end of the day, it isn't this stimulus that we actually need. Yes, businesses and individuals need some compensation to get them over the hump when they're being told to lock down and stay safe. We'll get into the vaccine failure and the results of this next round of lockdowns. But at the end of the day, and we've seen when the lockdowns get eased in certain jurisdictions of the country, spending starts again. People start going back to their habits. The economy picks back up. So you don't necessarily need to borrow or print money to so-called stimulate the economy when it's the government with the neck on the boot of the economy, that's the issue. We could start economic activity if we had vaccines and we were able to open the economy. We don't need to continue to saddle future generations with this debt.
You're bang on. And that was, you touched on another component of the context that I forgot to mention. And that is not only the government's response to COVID in terms of all the spending, which was needed, but their actual approach to COVID in terms of the health and safety of Canadians, whether it was decisions around the border, information about masks, or their current massive failure on vaccine procurement. You know, Trudeau has done such a masterful job, and I hate to say, but it's a fact, of pushing all of the responsibility, all of the difficult stuff onto the provinces, and the provinces have seemed to receive it quite readily. And the one job Trudeau did have was to get vaccines for Canadians, and he has blown that massively. Bad decisions, bad judgment, believing in a country like China and a communist regime like China ahead of having faith in what other, looking at our G7 partners and seeing what they were doing in terms of procuring vaccines. Bottom line, you can't trust this guy, not just because he might have his own ideological agenda. He just doesn't appear to have some common sense, good judgment, and his faith and his trust is usually misguided. And in the end, Canadians pay for it. So, you know, to your point, we're hearing this. We're hearing that people are waiting to spend money, that when the vaccines do eventually come, that there is investment, that things can rebound. So then you do have to wonder, why are they spending $101 billion? And I think, as been said by a number of commentators, this is an election budget, and they're hoping that they can buy people's votes with their own money.
As we've seen all across the world, not just in Canada, but here too, the situation in our long-term care facilities, we've seen some pretty horrific stories and heard them. And I'm sure we all have stories from across our ridings and we've saw around the world. So in terms of healthcare funding, the provinces needed more in terms of transfers so they can upgrade their long-term care facilities, put more money into better ICU facilities and their hospital infrastructure. But yet the government decided, no, we won't do that. We'll give you money for new transit. And we'll also do our big centerpiece, which is daycare, which will require provinces to split the cost 50-50, putting a burden on them. And I don't know really any province in this country that is bursting at the seams with extra cash. And so instead of actually dealing with the problem, they decided to resurrect something they promised since 1993 with a massive price tag that will be deficit financed and structurally in a deficit situation because the cash just isn't there.
You know, this is always the Liberal way of doing things. Whenever they get in a little bit of trouble or they're not sure what to do, let's pull out the good old daycare promise. Let's pull that one out of our hat because we've been promising that, says a Liberal, for the last 15 years. The interesting thing, a couple of points I want to make around that. And, you know, first of all, you're right. From what I've heard from very reliable sources, the provinces were not consulted in any way on this daycare plan, which very few people have faith in because it's been promised so many times. And it also shows how out of touch Liberals are when it comes to how families and work is changing across the country, not only with COVID, but even prior to COVID, the way that families structured their work day, how parents decided that they wanted their children to be looked after in their best case scenario was not always a 9-to-5, you know, we'll drop the child off at the daycare, go to my factory, do my work, then pick them up at 5 o'clock. That is becoming much more rare. And what is becoming more prevalent are families looking to other family members or friends that they know or home-based daycare or parents themselves taking turns and working different shifts. There's a whole host of ways that parents want their children to be looked after, including them looking after the children themselves and being valued for that by their government. A lot of these things, the Liberals are completely out of touch, and it's, again, the Ottawa knows best approach to looking after children. And, you know, my fear, too, a lot of these so-called daycares would be unionized, and there'd be a lot of money going towards institutional daycare. There is no doubt, And Jamie, I'm sure you're hearing this. There's no doubt families need a plan for childcare, and conservatives are going to deliver that plan. You'll remember it was conservatives in 2006 that turned the whole topic of childcare in a new direction with the UCCB. It was conservatives that said, we believe families are not going to spend money on beer and popcorn, but they're going to make good decisions for their families. Let's give money directly to Canadian families. And the Liberals basically adopted it themselves and increased it. They changed a little bit on how it's done, but they copied us shamelessly. So I think we can tell Canadians with confidence, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. You're going to hear a plan from Erin O'Toole and conservatives that, again, will reflect the change in how childcare is needed by families today in Canada. There's a lot more that can be talked about daycare, but it looks like the provinces are going to have to either pony up a whole bunch of money that they don't have, or this will yet just be another pipe dream the Liberals throw out and nothing actually becomes of it.
Well, look, that's exactly what our plan is all about. And it goes on to the slogan of this program, low taxes, less government, more freedom. And it's amazing what happens when you give people more of the money they earn back in their pockets, right? They are able to make the best choices based on their individual circumstance. And you can't say for 38 million Canadians, the Ottawa knows best solution will work for everybody with a child, regardless of where you are, your geography, who's around you. It doesn't, it will not work. It'll be a massive failure. And what they'll ask for, what every left-leaning government likes to ask for, is more time, more patience, and more of your money to eventually, hopefully, make it work at some point.
Yeah. And there's no doubt that parents are looking for more spaces for their childcare, but I don't think that term spaces is in the traditional sense, as I said, of take your kid to a big daycare center, drop them off. When I say spaces, I mean parents who are saying, I want to leave my kid in someone's home, somebody I know well, someone who shares my cultural similarity, somebody who shares my values, somebody who celebrates the same things that I celebrate. I mean, we have a lot of new Canadians who are coming into Canada, and they want to be able to have their children raised with their same cultural and traditional values. And I think that that's when conservatives say childcare spaces, we mean spaces determined by you, the parent, not spaces as determined by the Liberal government, which is we know best. And I mean, we've seen this in other policies where the Liberals are trying to tell Canadians how to raise their kids. But, you know, the fact is, this is a big spending budget, and it is one that I think there may be some Canadians that look at it and say, oh, good, more money. But a lot of people are taking a step back, even those who have voted Liberal traditionally. And they are very concerned about the fiscal direction of this country. They're concerned about where this is going to end. And I mean, Chrystia Freeland has written about it. Trudeau's talked about it, this reimagined economy where they're setting aside some of the tried and true fiscal policies of the Thatcher, Reagan kind of policy where it's less government. And as you said, give people power, give taxation, let tax less. Freeland and Trudeau actually don't believe that. And they want as big a government as possible, and they can try to control everything. So I think there's going to be a lot of Canadians who may not even see themselves as conservative. They may have voted conservative one election. They might have voted Liberal another election. This is going to give them pause for thought. And I believe it's an opportunity for conservatives to show our plan on really securing the future. And that's not just a slogan. That's actually what we need to do. We have to think about future generations. This budget doesn't do that.
Well, let's talk about actually transferring back into a paycheck economy and getting the economy back on track. The government hasn't really addressed the structural problems with our governing system, with the regulatory body. We have tons of regulations and rules, and we're not saying abandon them all, but we need to have it at a reasonable level. We need to ensure that the environment is correct so that private sector growth sees a future in Canada. invest money, that there's certainty in the regulatory process, something that is unfortunately lacking in some areas, which is causing the anchors of our economy. And you mentioned it at the beginning, the natural resources industry, to shed billions upon billions of dollars, which could be used to create jobs, businesses, and grow the economy.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking actually with my own financial planner yesterday, and we were talking about investments. And he said, I hate to say it, but if you say to somebody, do you want to invest in the U.S. or in Canada, it's always the U.S. first, because in Canada, and this guy isn't political, I would say he's more of a conservative leaning, but he's not partisan at all. He said, you know, in Canada, there's no certainty. There's no certainty around what can get built, who has to be consulted, what does that actually mean? And so for investors, when there's not certainty, they're going to go elsewhere. And this is what we've been identifying as a problem with the Liberals since they were elected, since they changed the legislation and made things more uncertain. And we've seen pipelines being canceled to the point where the government themselves have gone and bought a pipeline. And unfortunately, we're not seeing that. Again, we're not seeing a shift. If anything, we're seeing them double down in that. And I mean, I recognize that ESG and environment, social governance is something that is really important. And I think, though, we need a government that recognizes, well, I know this. We need a government that will stand up and recognize that Canada for sure leads the way on the S&G, on the social and governance part of ESG. We will stand our record against any country when it comes to our social responsibility, our inclusion, our protection of minority rights, our protection of vulnerable people. On the social governance side of things, we absolutely are at the top of the pack. And I believe that on the E, on the environment side, we are at the top or very, very close to the top. Does that mean we can't improve on all of those things? Absolutely. We should continually be improving. But we need a government that will stand up on the world stage and say, first of all, Canada is a leader on ESG. We are a leader, and we will not take lecturing from other countries. And to these investors who are somehow penalizing Canadian oil sands because they're saying, oh, it's not part of the ESG, we need to call them out, because I bet they're investing in China. I bet they're investing in other jurisdictions where the S and the G is at a minus, and the E is probably at a minus as well. But you need a prime minister and a government that is going to say that, and we have the proof of it. We're not just saying it. It's actually true. Canada should be a place for investment. But under this government, where we're just constantly shaming ourselves, talking ourselves down, and then adding more, you know, and we're seeing it right now, we're seeing more uncertainty with the UNDRIP legislation that they've rammed through. No certainty around what does consultation mean? What does it mean? We need to add Indigenous consultation in terms of including Indigenous people in sharing in this wealth. But it should not be a barrier to good, solid investment coming to Canada. There's my ESG belief. And I think that we, as Canadians, and Aaron O'Toole has said this, Aaron has said, we should be an ESG superpower, and we can be.
I love your passion. We have kept you long. We do appreciate your patience. I always give the guests the final word, so I open up the floor to you.
Well, Jamie, I appreciate so much being on the show. I love what you're doing. I love the voice that you are, not only for conservatives, but for Canadians who kind of are trying to find a home. They're not at all comfortable with Trudeau. And it's programs like yours and voices like yours that we need to just keep getting out there to the Canadian public so that they can look in the mirror, look at us, and see conservatives in themselves. So thanks for what you're doing. We love having you in our caucus and as a team member. And I always love coming on the show. I appreciate it.
We love having you on. You are welcome anytime. You just text me and we'll have you on, because you have such great passion and you're a great voice for all Canadians, not just your province and your riding of Portage-Lyskirk. And being the deputy leader of the official opposition. You're doing a great job, Candace. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. We have new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please like, comment, share, subscribe to this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. And of course, don't forget, if you can't watch it all today, download it, listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there together. We can ensure that Erin O'Toole is the next Prime Minister of Canada because there is someone in your network that might be open to hearing this conservative message. This is an opportunity for that to happen. Remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the Blueprints. Thanks for joining us.